Comments, just press the number one, and that will put you in the host queue. and your mic will be open for you to answer or ask a question or make a comment. Please do us a huge favor by keeping all the background noise to a zero, if possible. And a good way to do this is to simply mute your phone when you're not speaking. And when you decide you want to answer a question or make a comment, unmute your phone. So right now we're going to do a short prayer and we get right with our class. Dear Father God, I want to thank you for the opportunity for myself and all my brothers and sisters having the opportunity of reading your word, getting some type of clarity of your word, so we'll be able to take your word and distribute it amongst our brothers and sisters, the friends and relatives, whomever it may be, Lord. But we want to know your word so we can go out and tell your word to somebody else. Lord, we just ask for these and all of the blessings in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And I'll see you on the other side.
Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake I will not remain quiet, till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest, till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, never again will I give your grain as food for your enemies, and never again will foreigners drink the new wine for which you have toiled. But those who harvest it will eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather the grapes will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Pass through, Pass through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Remove the stones. Raise a banner for the nations. The Lord has made proclamation to the ends of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, see, your Savior comes. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted. Isaiah 63. Who is this coming from Edom, from Bozra with his garments stained crimson? Who is this robed in splendor, striding forward in the greatness of his strength? It is I, proclaiming victory, mighty to save. Why are your garments red, like those of one treading the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone. From the nations no one was with me. I trampled them in my anger and trod them down in my wrath. Their blood spattered my garments, and I stained all my clothing. It was for me the day of vengeance. The year for me to redeem had come. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled that no one gave support. So my own arm achieved salvation for me, and my own wrath sustained me. I trampled the nations in my anger. In my wrath I made them drunk and poured their blood on the ground. I will tell of the kindnesses of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, children who will be true to me. And so he became their Savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Then his people recalled the days of old, the days of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them, who sent his glorious arm of power to be at Moses' right hand, who divided the waters before them, to gain for himself everlasting renown, who led them through the depths like a horse in open country? They did not stumble. Like cattle that go down to the plain, they were given rest by the Spirit of the Lord. This is how you guided your people, to make for yourself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and see, from your lofty throne, holy and glorious. Where are your zeal and your might? Your tenderness and compassion are withheld from us. For you are our Father. Though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us, you, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from of old is your name. Why, Lord, do you make us wander from your ways and harden our hearts so we do not revere you? Return for the sake of your servants, the tribes that are your inheritance. For a little while your people possessed your holy place, but now our enemies have trampled down your sanctuary. We are yours from of old, but you have not ruled over them. They have not been called by your name. Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you. As when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil, come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down, and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. we all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have given us over to our sins. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray. For we are all your people. Your sacred cities have become a wasteland. Even Zion is a wasteland. Jerusalem, a desolation. Our holy and glorious temple, where our ancestors praised you, has been burned with fire. And all that we treasured lies in ruins. After all this, Lord, will you hold yourself back? Will you keep silent and punish us beyond measure? Isaiah 65. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I, here am I. All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations. A people who continually provoke me to my very face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil, who eat the flesh of pigs and whose pots hold broth of impure meat, who say, keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. Such people are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. See, it stands written before me. I will not keep silent, but will pay back in full. I will pay it back into their laps, both your sins and the sins of your ancestors, says the Lord, because they burned sacrifices on the mountains and defied me on the hills. I will measure into their laps the full payment for their former deeds. This is what the Lord says. As when juice is still found in a cluster of grapes, and people say, don't destroy it, there is still a blessing in it, so will I do in behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, those who will possess my mountains. My chosen people will inherit them, and there will my servants live. Sharon will become a pasture for flocks, and the valley of Achor a resting place for herds, for my people who seek me. But as for you who forsake the Lord and forget my holy mountain, who spread a table for fortune and fill bowls of mixed wine for destiny, I will destine you for the sword, and all of you will fall in the slaughter. For I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not listen. You did evil in my sight and chose what displeases me. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My servants will eat, but you will go hungry. My servants will drink, but you will go thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. My servants will sing out of the joy of their hearts, but you will cry out from anguish of heart and wail in brokenness of spirit. You will leave your name for my chosen ones to use in their curses. The Sovereign Lord will put you to death, but to his servants he will give another name. Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the one true God. Whoever takes an oath in the land will swear by the one true God. For the past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune, for they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Isaiah 66. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord? These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word. But whoever sacrifices a bull is like one who kills a person, and whoever offers a lamb is like one who breaks a dog's neck. Whoever makes a grain offering is like one who presents pig's blood, and whoever burns memorial incense is like one who worships an idol. They have chosen their own ways, and they delight in their abominations. So I also will choose harsh treatment for them, and will bring on them what they dread. For when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, no one listened. They did evil in my sight, and chose what displeases me. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your own people who hate you and exclude you because of my name have said, let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. Yet they will be put to shame. Hear that uproar from the city. Hear that noise from the temple. It is the sound of the Lord repaying his enemies all they deserve. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen things like this? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. Do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Do I close up the womb when I bring to delivery, says your God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice greatly with her, all you who mourn over her. For you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breasts. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. For this is what the Lord says, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the wealth of nations like a flooding stream. You will nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. When you see this, your heart will rejoice, and you will flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be shown to his foes. See, the Lord is coming with fire, and his chariots are like a whirlwind. He will bring down his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For with fire and with his sword, the Lord will execute judgment on all people, and many will be those slain by the Lord. Those who consecrate and purify themselves to go into the gardens, following one who is among those who eat the flesh of pigs, rats, and other unclean things, they will meet their end together with the one they follow, declares the Lord. And I, because of what they have planned and done, am about to come and gather the people of all nations and languages, and they will come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them, and I will send some of those who survive to the nations to Tarshish, to the Libyans and Lydians, famous as archers, to Tubal and Greece, and to the distant islands that have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. They will proclaim my glory among the nations, and they will bring all your people from all the nations to my holy mountain in Jerusalem as an offering to the Lord on horses, in chariots and wagons, and on mules and camels, says the Lord. They will bring them, as the Israelites bring their grain offerings to the temple of the Lord in ceremonially clean vessels. And I will select some of them also to be priests and Levites, says the Lord. As the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure. From one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all mankind will come and bow down before me, says the Lord, and they will go out and look on the dead bodies of those who rebelled against me. The worms that eat them will not die. The fire that burns them will not be quenched, and they will be loathsome to all mankind.
Okay, good evening to everyone again. I am Deacon Reed, and I'd like to get started right with the questions, so we're going to just jump right into this. Question number one, how do we know that the brokenhearted will one day be okay?
Good evening, Deacon Reed, proactive deacon.
Good evening, Sister Johnson. Yes,
good
thank
evening.
You.
I think good the evening, answer might be Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, but I'm not sure.
Yes, ma'am. You're correct.
That's what I had.
Okay.
Thank you
okay.
very much, Ms. Gleason. Good evening to you as well.
Good evening.
Good
yes.
evening. Okay,
thank
it reads
you.
As follows. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Amen.
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 That is so true. We just discussed that a few weeks back in one of the Sunday school classes about that particular verse. But okay, we're going to go to the next question. Question number two. What part of your family would be your servant?
That would be 61, verse 5.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I
said.
That's correct.
Verse 5, it says, foreigners will be your servants. They will feed your flock and plow your fields and tend your vineyards.
Hello, my good sister. How are you?
Amen.
Hey.
All right. All right. That's the correct answer, everyone. We're going to keep moving. Question number three. And I had a little grammar error in that particular question. Let's see, what type of special attire? It should have been, will I wear? And I got, I will be wearing. What type of special attire will I be wearing is what it should have said. But you guys are brilliant. I know you figured it out.
I didn't even notice.
Me either.
6110, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
It says, mm-hmm. I am overjoyed in the Lord my God. He has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels.
All right. Hey, y'all on y'all game tonight. I love this. Let's go to question number four. Who has righteousness and who will be blinded?
62. I had 62, 1, and 2. I just ran it together.
Okay. Anybody else?
What? I just had 1.
You had 1.
62,
2? Yeah, I had 62, 2.
I had 2, 2. But the reason I ran it together is because it started off telling you about what nation it was talking about. That's why I had 1 and 2. But I knew the answer was 2.
Okay, that's acceptable. As long as we got the 2, that's the main part. Just, we got the meaty answer was 2. Did somebody read it?
And the Gentiles shall say thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name.
And who am I speaking with?
This is Lord Dusan.
That's what I thought. How you doing, my friend? Sorry to call you out. Hello. How you doing? All right.
I'm
thank you.
Good. You're welcome.
Okay. Question number 5. What are the forsaken city and the desolate land getting?
I had 62, verse 4 and 5.
I just 62. Had 4.
I just had 4 as well. But let me hear why you
have
5.
I just had 4 as well.
Okay, what do we have 5 for? I just want to hear, so I mean, maybe that brings it to a good head.
Maybe I'm just wrong. That's the reason.
No, you may have had reason. That's why I'm asking.
No,
okay.
I don't have a reasoning. I don't recall why I chose
okay,
that.
Well,
but
well, 4 is what I had for an answer for everyone.
Okay, well, I will read verse 4.
Okay, thank you.
It reads as follows. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah. For the Lord will take delight in you and your land will be married. Amen.
Amen. I accept that. Thank you. Yes. Great responses. I'm loving this tonight. Question number 6. Why is the city no longer forsaken?
I'm 62:12.
Good answer.
They will be called the holy people, the people redeemed by the Lord, and Jerusalem will be known as the desirable place, and the city no longer forsaken. Amen.
Amen. I accept that very much.
Amen.
Okay. Question 7. Who is it that has power to save?
63:1.
Exactly.
That's what I mean.
It says, who is this who comes from Edom, from the city of Bozrah, with his clothing stained red? Who is this in royal robes, marching in his great strength? It is I, the Lord, announcing your salvation. It is I, the Lord, who has the power to save.
All right. So true. Thank you. Question number 8. What group helped the oppressed? Exactly.
Uh-huh. It reads as follows. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled that no one gave support. So my own arm achieved salvation for me, and my own wrath sustained me. Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay. Well, you know this is a fill in the blank. Verse number 9. Question number 9. Lord, why have blank as your people? And seeing if you don't have an NLT Bible, you may not have the same writing.
Oh, and that was going to be my NLT.
I had 63:17-19.
Exactly.
Lord, why have you allowed us to turn from your path? We have given up stubborn hearts, so we no longer fear you. Return and help us, for we are your servants, the tribes that are your special possession. How briefly your holy people possess your holy place, and now our enemies have destroyed it. Sometimes it seems as though we never belonged to you, as though we have never been known as your people.
Yeah. So,
amen.
Amen. Just throwing this question out, as Pastor Ola do it. What people is he talking about? Who are the people he's talking about? Or what group of people? Or what remnant? I kind of answered it already. Okay. Who does he always say he's going to take care of? Okay, we're not going to say Jerusalem at all. We're going to go to the next question. Question number 10. What would make your family learn the reason? What would make your family learn the reason of your fame? Yeah, okay, my bad. All right. Yeah, what would make your family learn the reason of your fame?
64
who?
2.
Yes. I have this is what I had. I had 1 and 2, then I have a slash
mark. That's
what
I had, but then I didn't say 1 and 2. I have 1 and 2 on my paper because I thought it would run it into each other, but then
exactly.
They were answering just 1. So.
But then when I read 2, it seemed a little more descriptive to the right answer, but again, like you said, it seemed like 1 and 2 would work good together. So I had it both ways, 1 and 2, a slash mark, or just 2, whichever way you guys would have came up with an answer.
Okay.
Okay, here's another, number question 11, another grammatical error. What did we do with our righteous deeds? I was supposed to put something else in there. What did we do with our righteous deeds? It was something else I was supposed to put in there, and I didn't. But that's question 11.
Okay, but we're still on number 10 right now.
Okay, my bad. Go ahead. I'm sorry. What did I miss?
You didn't have the lady read it.
My bad. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll read it.
Okay.
All day you would burst from the heavens and come down. How the mountains would quake in your presence. As fire caused wood to burn and water to boil. Your coming would make the nation tremble. Then your enemies would learn the reason for your fame. Amen.
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 Okay. Let me also say something to everybody that's listening. Please, by all means, I apologize to everyone. If at any time you want to ask a question or ask or interject a comment about something, just break right in. If there's no one speaking, and then that way, you know, we can go ahead. Or you do it. If I'm saying, go ready to read the next question. You want to ask something about the last one, as she stated, just go right ahead. I don't have a problem with it. I don't get offended. Let's do that, okay? Question 11. What did we do with our righteous deeds?
That's 64:6.
Yes.
And it says, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags, like autumn leaves. We wither
I got the right person. So give me my footnote.
Okay. It says sin makes us unclean so that we cannot approach God. 6:5 Romans 2:23. Any more than a beggar in filthy rags could die at a king's table. Our best are still infected with sin. Our only hope, therefore, is faith in Jesus Christ, who can cleanse us and bring us into God's presence. Read Romans 3. This passage can easily be misunderstood. It doesn't mean that God will reject us if we come to him in faith, nor that he despises our efforts to please him. It means that if we come to him demanding acceptance on the basis of our good conduct, God will point out that our righteousness is but filthy rags compared to his infinite righteousness. This message is primarily for the unrepentant person, not the true follower of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay. Amen.
Amen. So that really breaks it down. For the people that don't have it, don't get a chance to reread it, go over it once or twice, but it really breaks it down real good, very well to me.
Uh-huh.
Let's move on to what labels do Zion and Jerusalem carry? Question 12.
Verse 10.
Yes, it is.
Your holy cities are destroyed. Zion is a wilderness. Yes, Jerusalem is a desolated moor. Amen.
Amen. It sure is. Amen. Those are some negative labels that they carry. Any questions? No? Question 13. Who has evil paths and crooked schemes?
Is that chapter 65, verse 2 through 5?
Go with it.
Okay, it reads as follows. All day long, I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations, a people who continually provoke me to my very face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil, who eat the flesh of pigs, and whose pots hold broth of impure meat, who say, keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. Such people are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. Amen.
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 Appreciate you. Okay. Thanks. Now this is a fill-in-the-blank question, question 14. Look, blank, back in full.
65, 6 and 7.
Exactly.
Look, my degree is really out in front of me. I will not stand silent. I will repay them in full. Yes, I will repay them. Both of their own sins and for their ancestors, says the Lord. For they also burn incense on mountains and insult me on the hill. I will pay them back in full. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Okay. Question number 15. What goes on with Acor and Sharon?
Number 10, 6510.
Pardon?
6510.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It says, the plain of Sharon will again be filled with flocks. For my people who have searched for me in the valley of Acor will be a place to be a place to pasture herds.
Amen.
All right. Question 16. What was happening between the lion, lamb, wolf, and cow when the Lord had spoken?
That was such a, for number 10, that was such a short answer. Yeah, I'm going to read the footnotes on that so we get a better
understanding. Okay, go ahead, then. That'd be fine.
6510 says, Sharon is a plain in the western part of Israel, and the valley of Acor is in the east near Jericho. And the valley of Acor was also called the Valley of Trouble because Achan was executed there for hiding the devoted goods of battle. Goods of battle, Joshua 7:10-26. Even in this valley, there will be peace. The coming restoration will be complete.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She has a problem in the river part of Israel. It could have been the east.
I think that was when they were going and doing, taking over. They was having war. They were taking their goods and taking all of their property and all their people. I think that's when that was. I forgot what it's called.
Back in Joshua. I remember that now.
The plunder. I think it was when they were taking
their
plunder.
Yeah, the plunder is what they called it, right. They
yeah.
All they did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Now we're going to go to verse 16. Question 16. What was happening between the lion, lamb, wolf, and cow when the Lord had spoken?
65, verse 25.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat hay like a cow, but the snake will eat dust. In those days, no one will be hurt or destroyed on my holy mountain. I, the Lord, have spoken. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I agree with you. Yes, I do. Okay. You guys.
So, Deacon Eric, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Does that verse mean that we'll all be vegetarians? There won't be any predators?
Well, this, I guess, is what they're trying to say. We all come together in some type of unity and peace, I'm assuming. But I have to want to conclude that answer for you properly. Pastor O, activate.
Right. Right. What they're talking about is during the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000 years. You know, there'll never be a time on earth when all of this can happen. Not before the rapture, so it'll be after the rapture, after the seven-year tribulation period, when Christ comes to rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, then all these things will happen. As for us being vegetarians, well, that question is kind of takes a couple of answers. Animals most definitely will be vegetarian. They will go back to what they were in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't until Genesis chapter 9 that man began to eat meat and animals became carnivores, right? Everything was a herbivore before that. Everybody, man, animals, but in Genesis chapter 9, God gave us meat to eat as well. So during the millennial reign of Christ, the animals will go back to being vegetarians like they were before, or herbivores back before, you know, God, before the fall, and everything got out of order. So in the millennial reign, God's will done on earth as it is in heaven, the utopian society, okay, as for human beings, right, there'll be two types, okay? Those of us who got raptured at the outset of the tribulation period, we'll get glorified bodies as is discussed in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, talks about that we'll be changed in a moment in a twinkling of an eye. And wherever we place the bodies of our loved ones, we know their soul and spirit is with the Lord. Okay, absent from the body, present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, right? So their spirits and souls are with the Lord. When Jesus comes back to get his church, he's not coming to the earth, but he's going to stop in the sky. We'll be able to see him. He'll be able to see us. Now, the dead in Christ, those bodies that we planted somewhere, or whoever the loved one was, right, they will be recaptured first. They will be given glorified bodies. Their bodies, whatever. If it got ate up by a shark, the shark will have to give it up. If they died and fell over a ship and landed at the bottom of the ocean somewhere, ocean going to have to give it up. Okay? And then that body and spirit, just like when Jesus raised from the dead and had a glorified body, so will those who have died in Christ. And then those of us who are yet alive in these mortal bodies, before we get to where Jesus is out there in the sky, we'll have glorified bodies like his. 1 John 3 tells us that it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he appears, we shall be like him. Okay, so we'll have a body like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15 is all about that at length, and you can get that there. So now, folks with a glorified body can do like Jesus when he raised from the dead. He took some food and ate it to prove to his disciples that he wasn't a ghost and he had a real body. Okay, he wasn't just some sort of hologram, but he had a real body. So he said, do you have any food? So he ate some so they could see he had a real body. But at the same time, that body could open a door and walk through it or just appear in the room. Okay? And if you study Jesus on those last 40 days of his life, you'll get a chance to see what our glorified bodies will be able to do. Okay? And what they're no longer subject to. They bypass all of that. If we want to walk on water, we'll be able to do that. Whatever we want to do, we'll be able to do. So we won't have to eat, but if we want to, we can, we will. But then those who live through the tribulation period who didn't get raptured before the church start, but accepted Christ during those 7 years and managed to stay alive, those folks will still have human bodies, okay? They won't have glorified bodies like ours. They'll still be just like we are right now. And just as the Lord enabled them to live 1,000 years in Genesis chapter 5, Methuselah being 969, he'll enable them to live, okay? And where it says a baby will not die, okay, and an old person who dies at 100 will live a full life, have a full life. Those mortals and still have mortal bodies, they'll still be able to die, okay, because mortal bodies die, right? So what will they eat? They'll eat like they always ate. because they're still in a mortal body. They will still need food. They will still need water. They will still need shelter. They'll still need clothes. Short answer is humans won't be vegetarians, but the animals will.
Thank you, Pastor O.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Wow.
When I was reading this, putting it on tape and going through here, you know, Isaiah is a funny book. The first 39 chapters is all God telling his people how crapped out they are. And if they remain like that, what they're going to bring on themselves, right? But then in the last chapters, 40 to the 66, he talks about restoration, nothing but restoration. And this is the culmination of that. But God is looking past. He's looking 17. If the rapture happened today, he's looking 1,700 years ahead. That's how far ahead. He's looking to the time when Jesus can come back and reign for 1,000 years on this earth, and we get to reign with them for 1,000 years, while he's here on earth. But that's a period of 1,700 years from now that we have to wait. But I don't mind if the rapture happened right now. We'd spend 7 years in heaven chilling. If you want an idea of what that's going to be like, read the book of Revelation, and everywhere you see the 24 elders, see what they're doing in heaven. In heaven, we're big. We are huge. God is letting us answer questions that people have. You see that happening in chapter 5 or wherever you see the 24 elders. They're doing things, okay? We're God's children, and you can get a glimpse at what we'll be doing in heaven. If you want to know what you'll be doing when you serve with Christ during 1,000 years, well, just look to what you're doing now. And that'll have a lot to do with what you're going to do then. So if you're going hard for Jesus now, you can expect to be well known during that time. But if you just sit on the pew and chew and that's pretty much all you do, then you'll be there, but you know, there you go. There you go. It's on you. Yeah, it's on you. The Lord has given every one of us gifts and abilities to do this or that. If we take them like the guy with the one and just sit on it, wait till Jesus get back, then, you know, he'll at least wonder, why didn't you put it in the bank so I would get interest on it? He wants some interest on the gifts that he has given us, the investments he's made in us. And that'll determine what you're going to do. Like, this is crazy, but Jesus came up with this, but because it'll be a good example, but it's kind of crapped out. I had to learn to pay child support like everything else the hard way. So I ignored all of the come and show cause letters, and then I finally decided to go answer one. I was just going to slick lie, and, you know, then they let me go home, and I'd be through with them sending me letters. Well, it didn't work. I ended up getting sentenced to 6 months in Detroit House of Corrections back in 78. Okay. But the Lord used that as a way to help me get where I am today. Okay, the way they class you for what you're going to be doing in prison, if you ever go to prison, this is what you can expect. They give you a
job. Hold
on,
Pastor O, that's jail. It's a difference.
Well, that was the Detroit, that was the Wayne County jail. But when I got to Detroit House of Corrections, that was a little bit different than the county jail. But it was still jail. Right?
Yeah.
So whenever you go, they're going to place you according to the last job you had, as they say, in the world. Because you're out of the world when you're in there. So they asked me, what was the last thing that you did? I was unemployed at that time, so I told him I was an associate preacher. And so they put me to work in the yard office. They put me in clerical office. But the yard, I really didn't do anything. All I did was, you know, that. But anyway, that's how they classed you. It was based on what you did before you got there. So the Lord is going to position you based on what you did before you got there. For instance, remember Matthew 25? The man gave this one 5 talents, this one 2, this one 1. But he gave them according to their ability, okay? And then he took a long journey, and then he came back. And the man who had the 5 said, I got 10. You've been faithful over a few things. Come, enter your master's joy. I'm going to make you master over many things. Man had 2, same story. It was the man who had the 1 that didn't get a good story. He was thrown out. Scholars still argue today with that last man with the 1. Was he saved but just didn't get to enjoy the benefits of if he had used that 1? Because if he had used that, just that 1 that he had the ability to use, then the Lord would have said to him, come enter your master's joy. You've been faithful over that 1 thing. I'm going to make you master over many things. Because he told the first 2, no matter how much they had, the same thing. So they had sequential growth with the 5 and the 2. But then because they went to work with the abilities they had and made it double, then they got exponential growth as a reward. And so what you'll be doing during the 1,000-year reign of Christ is based on what you're doing for Christ now. If you're not telling nobody about Jesus, then there you go. If you're not teaching nobody in Christ to live better for him or a better understand to live for him, well, there you go. If you're not helping nobody in or outside the body of Christ, there you go. And it's easy to do. I'm going to share this. My wife's going to kill me. She's really going to kill me, but I'm willing to die for Jesus. ever since last Sunday or something, she's been having giveaways. And right out in front of the house, she take a little table out there, set it up, run down into the basement of Wonder and grab some of that stuff. And put it on that table, and then and people emptied it every day that we've done. I think Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, people have emptied off the table. I mean, Monday it rained, but whatever. We've been out there for 3 days. She's been out there, and no matter what you put on the table, people have been taking it. We got the right price on it, free. So those things. Things like that, that's helping somebody in or outside the body of Christ who's in need. It's doing like God did. In the 6 days of creation, he gave us everything, right? And then when Adam and them got here, he said, I want you to run this for me. I'm putting you in charge of the whole thing. Now, that is benevolent. Okay, so that's what God wants us to be. Like, of course, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount taught that when we do our alms, don't do them so that, you know, you want people to glorify you because you did something good, but rather do it in secret so that those who, like Sheila was on here telling you about all this, she would be boasting. But I'm boasting on her behalf. I'm doing like the people did in Acts chapter 9. Lydia didn't talk about how awesome she was. The people she helped talked about how awesome she was.
Okay.
And that impressed the Lord so much. You know, Peter raised her up from the dead. And she continued to do those awesome things that she was doing. So that's what, you know, if you're wondering what you'll be doing in the millennial reign, well, you're working on it right now.
All right.
Okay.
That's right.
That's why, you know, I know y'all are saved, but you get that email from me about share Jesus, and it's always something to lead somebody to Christ. I put those things on my four Facebook pages, and I put it on LinkedIn, and I'm not on Twitter no more. The devil bought it. And Instagram, and I sent it out in an email. Now, that goes out to thousands of people instantly. And then I check Facebook, and I'll see where other people shared it. So now there's more thousands. So you're reaching thousands. You're reaching thousands for Christ. And you know how nosy we are. I bet you everybody who see it reads it. If whether they accept Christ or not, they read it because we're nosy. That's the way we are. Okay? Right. That's one good way to lead people to Christ. And I always put on there that they can go to our website to get more information about next steps.
Okay.
Yeah, so every day, I think it was that great preacher named Rick Ross say, every day I'm hustling. Evangelist Rick Ross say, every day I'm hustling. You know, I hustle souls. Every day I hustle souls. Every day.
Good answer. Good answer. Every day. Okay.
Good job, Pastor. I'm going to be like you when I grow up.
I'm going to be like me when I grow up.
He's still a Toys R Us kid.
Hey, leave him alone. Leave him alone, because I'm one of them.
Toys R Us kids.
I wore that shirt in a million years. Okay.
Toys R Us kids.
Question number 17. Oh, hold on, I'm sorry. Pastor, was you finished?
I'm good. I'm preached and ready to open the door to the church. Go ahead.
Almost. question number 17. What was all that noise in the temple? And then I want you to tell me who it was making the noise. I mean, I don't know. You might already know, but we're going to see. Go ahead. What was all that noise in the temple? Question 17.
Okay. Is it verse 66, verse 6?
Yes, verse 66, verse 6. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. It reads as follows. The sound of the noise from the city, a voice from the temple. The voice of the Lord, who fully repays his enemies. Amen.
All right. Amen. So that particular verse, I kept reading it, and it kept throwing me off. And so I had to look it up, and we might have to activate Pastor O. But I'm thinking, like you say, it was the Lord. So we know it was the voice of the Lord speaking. And he was speaking to the city that he was in. And he also spoke when he was in the temple. And so was he speaking like to, let's see. Okay, let's put it this way. He's being the judgmental. So he's really the righteous judge. We know that. But I'm trying to figure out, I want to ask that, so is this on Judgment Day that he's speaking this? You know, I guess for the people that may have denied him over the years?
Well, here we are, you know, and if you go all the way back to, well, you have to go back to 65, Judgment and Final Salvation. Okay, this whole conversation, You need to remember the Bible didn't have chapters and verses until 1885. Then they, 1551, then they fully developed it into chapters and verses to make it easier to read and remember. So chapters 65 and 66 is the same thought. There's no difference in thought. And so when you get to verse 5, you hear this, hear this message from the Lord, all you who tremble at his words. Your own people hate you and throw you out for being loyal to my name. Let the Lord be honored, they scoff. Be joyful in him, but they will be put to shame. What is all the commotion in the city? What is that terrible noise from the temple? It is the voice of the Lord taking vengeance against his enemies. So it means just that, you know, like right now in the times that we're living, the Lord had told Jesus, sit here while I make your enemies your footstool. People who rebel against God and live outside of him and against him make themselves enemies of God. We want to be friends of God. We want him to call us friend like he did Abraham, friend of God. Okay?
Yes, yes.
Like Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but friends. But when we live opposite of God, then we make ourselves an enemy of God.
Okay.
And so what he is talking about here is not just these people, but even people today, like these so-called Christians who run around here with that disgusting lie that Donald Trump won the last election or that there was some sort of chicanery or cheating. I don't know how you could name the name of Jesus and follow a bold-faced liar like Satan and promote and tell lies and call yourself. See, those kinds of people, the Lord will show them up for who they really are and what they really are. And there's a lot in the body of Christ calling themselves the evangelical right. They're the evangelical all the way wrong. They are nowhere near right. When you promote a liar and his lies, you're promoting Satan, who is the father of lies, according to John chapter 8, I think it's verse 44. Satan is the father of lies. And when you promote and push lies like some of these people running for political office, then when you elect them, you're electing Satan to be your leader, not Jesus. I don't care. You can sit around in the church all you want. You know, you can go all the Bible classes you want and do all the home Bible study you want. You can go stand in a garage, but that ain't going to make you turn into a car. Being like Jesus makes you a Christian, not being like the devil, who is a liar. I mean, you read John 8:44 and the verses following that, you'll see where Jesus just lays it all out. And so this is what the Lord is saying about these people who claim his name, but they also claim lies, like a lot of Christians caught up with these wicked political parties. You know, I've long since gave them up, and I do vote, but I vote for the one, basically I vote for the one that comes the closest to telling whatever story they can, the closest one to Christ, that's who I vote for. Okay, the one who is most like him. That's hard to find. And most of the people who are those people usually don't get elected. It's the ones who tell the best lies to get elected. But, you know. But what the Lord's concern is, as it is with these people, it is with us today, that we're doing a lot of things that, under the name of Christianity, that has nothing to do with Jesus. Nothing. Because it's the base of it is Satan. He's at the bottom of it. Anything that promotes a lie is the devil. For instance, rather than saying it, listen to this. It was people who were doing the same thing in Jesus' day. They kept calling his name, talking about they belong to God, they belong to God. But Jesus disagreed with them vehemently. In chapter 8, of the Gospel of John, starting at verse 42, listen to what Jesus told him. Jesus told him, if God were your father, you would love me because I've come to you from God. I'm not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because he has no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Which of you can truthfully accuse me of sin? And since I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But you don't listen because you don't belong to God. And see, it's a lot of Christians who have left the Lord for their political party's ideology. And that's another word, which isn't the word of God, which may not agree with the word of God. And it's Republican and Democrat. They both do it. All for the sake of getting reelected.
Okay. All right, my brothers and sisters, last question. Question number 18, and it's a fill in the blank. Oh, hold on. Did you guys understand what Pastor O said, or is there any questions for him?
No, I'm good.
How you feeling, Pastor O? So, question number 18 reads, as surely as blank the Lord.
66:22.
Ding, 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 ding. Good answer.
As surely as my new heavens and earth will remain, so will you always be my people, with the name that will never disappear, says the Lord.
Amen. Good answer.
Amen.
Great answer. And we have concluded our questions. I am going to shut up and let Pastor O kick in what's going to happen between now and Sunday. And then we'll close out after.
Okay, coming up Friday at 7 o'clock, you know, you want to earn some treasure in heaven, get involved with Bring Back the Family, because that is a treasure trove right there, because, see, Kathy's working with them kids, and Jesus loved them kids, and so you get double bonus treasure in heaven dealing with that. So this Friday, every Friday at 7 o'clock, Bring Back the Family comes on. Get involved,
okay?
You want to earn some treasure in heaven, join that group, right? Okay? And also coming up next week, the teacher will be, I think it's, where are we? Yeah, Kathy Clyburn. Amen.
Wow.
Win. Oh, wait. Win.
Oh, no, Crystal. That'll be Crystal Crump, Jeremiah 1 through 10.
She'll
be
coming
up. Kathy got Jeremiah 31 through 40. So it'll be Crystal with 1 through 10, followed by Keela with 11 through 20, followed by Sarah with 21 through 30, followed by Kathy 31 through 40, and Naomi's closes it out with 41 through 52. Okay, that's all the book of Jeremiah. And
all
this
right.
Saturday, Janine Folks will be preaching this Saturday. And this Sunday, Pastor O will be preaching. I'm back in the saddle again. Okay.
All right.
Yes, indeed. So that's what's coming up. Close out the rest of this week. I haven't heard anything from the church, and no news lets me know that we'll be out again. So everything, once again, will be on Blog Talk Radio the whole weekend. This Saturday, I believe Pastor Janice Tate is going to be doing a Sunday school, a church school review. On Saturday, we call it church school until we get back in church. Then it'll be Sunday school, and I kind of can't wait to get back in church. I kind of miss that. when you're an antic type preacher like I am, you know, part comedian, part preacher, you can't snake walk on the radio. You know what I mean? You know, there's just so much you can't do on the radio. It's like preaching in a dark closet, but, you know, the Lord's will be done. Yeah, so when we can get back in church, you know, we'll be back in church. Then it'll be Sunday school, back to normal, right? But now everything's on Blog Talk Radio. So Sunday school is on, church school is on Saturday at 9, and followed by the worship service at 10. Sunday's worship service starts at 10, all of it on Blog Talk Radio, okay? So we got a filled up week. Keep me in your prayers. I told y'all before I started another book. It's coming along real well. You know, taking my time, doing it right. I've been reading my other books, and I'm like, really? But anyway, this time I'm avoiding them faux pas.
Do you see him where you've gotten better at writing books?
Well, yeah. Well, the first book I did that completely, and it's about, I think I found 7 errors in there. My second book I did that halfway with Grammarly, so it's less messed up. But I found 10 errors, 7 in the first one, 10 in the second one. Now my third book, The Bible God's Word to Us, that was completely under Grammarly, and I found 2 errors. So I'm using Grammarly, and I have a copy editor.
I mean, the messages that you're getting out to people.
Say what now?
The things that you're writing, do you find like you're getting better information to give to us, to present to us?
Well, the first and second book required a ton of research because there's not much known about Jesus growing up. And so I had to do a whole lot of research on the Jews to figure out how did they grow up? What did they do? And you know, you got to nail down stuff. You can't put stuff in there that some crazy historian said that wasn't even true. So it take a lot of work. The second book, The Church that Jesus Built, that was super. I had studied so many different historians, you know, to find out the truth, because it ain't the Bible, right? You're in history, so who's telling the truth? So I had to deal with that. The third book came out of the second book, so I was familiar with the subject because it's just about the Bible and where it came from and how it came to us and how it came to America in the end. So the third book was easier than because of the second book. But this book, I love it because all my research is in the Bible itself. It's like William Evans' book on Christian doctrine. It's based off scripture.
Then that's what I was trying to find. Is it easier to do this next book?
Yes, that's easier, and it's a whole lot more fun. I look forward to it. I don't wake up and have that fight.
You're on your own playground. You're on your own playground with this, I know, with that Bible.
With the Bible. That's, you know, because God know what, you know. The research is easier. Yeah, the research is just so much easier, and I'm thoroughly familiar with the subject. I know everywhere in the Bible where God talked about it, you know. So it's a whole lot more fun than having to chase
people down. You need to tell Amazon we are senior citizens. We can't pay that big price.
It's only $10. Amazon suggested that my cheapest book be $25 and the rest be in the 30s. I'd tell them, well, you know, $10 is, to me, it wasn't about the profit. It's about how many people in church know, how many people in church know Christian history.
Right.
You know, so that was the goal there. And then I kept running into people who kept telling me the King James Bible was the original Bible, and that's wrong. And, and a bunch of nonsense. So that's what precipitated the writing of the third book. And then this fourth book is being written because big time preachers started going nuts. And so the Lord wanted the truth put out there. So, 'cause people are all mixed up now. They're disillusioned. You know,
yeah.
I wish I could tell you what it's about, but I can't till it's written, right? I don't have the copyright yet. But once I get the copyright, then I'll put the subject out there. It won't be a problem.
Man,
I hate that process too. Copywriting is something else, you know. And I self, my daughter, the lawyer, Dion, she the one, Daddy, you could do that yourself. And now I do it myself. And I've learned how to do it now after three tries. So the fourth trial would be easier. But, you know, you can't copyright something somebody else said. And that's
right,
the problem with copywriting. You know, and you got to make sure everything. Exactly.
Yeah.
Plagiarism is a thing. And so I got Grammarly is a computer program that will tell you if your sentence or your chapter or whatever got a problem. Because Grammarly seems to know who wrote what. And when you put a certain line in there, it'll tell you about plagiarism could be an issue. And so you have Oh, yeah, because you cannot copyright. Well, my first book, if you notice, it's got a ton of scriptures in it. I didn't write those. Those come out of the NIV Bible. So I had to parse out my words from their words and only copyright my words, but not theirs because theirs already copyrighted. That's why in my second book, there's no scriptures. It says, see these verses. Because I didn't want to go through that again.
All right.
Okay, then. Well, everybody, no questions to ask Pastor O or nothing else that we talked about? You can let me know, and we can keep on going. Okay, well, that be it. One second, please.
Oh!
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
that's it then, I guess. Then nobody has nothing to say. Okay, we can pray out then.
Good class.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Hey, one more thing. I just got a reminder. We'll be finishing the first 1,000 years of Christian history in chapter 6. Can you believe that? We've gone through 1,000 years of history already. Unbelievable. So go ahead and do chapter 6, and we're moving on through there. Monday, 6 o'clock, we'll be back at it.
All
now,
right.
If you have any questions, some of you already do it. You send me your questions, and I'll answer you right back. Okay, but if you have any questions, all you got to do is email me because I know when we hit the work is done when you're reading on your own at home. When we come together, we're coming together for a discussion of what we read. Okay,
right.
We're not going to reread the whole chapter because
right.
Supposedly you've already read the whole chapter, and then we come in and just discuss that. So the class moves kind of fast. So if you have any questions, all you have to do is email me. And that's easy to do. Go to rfcm.org, click on contact. Go to pastorgmo.com, click on contact. I'm not rich enough to have people answer my email, so I'll actually be the one answering it.
I'm seeing your resume. I do it for a living now. Okay, all my brothers and sisters, any questions or anything you'd like to say to anybody? Or okay, well, there it is. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for this opportunity of being able to share your word, the whole book of Isaiah, Lord, I hope that everybody had the opportunity to pick up something, take something from what was said or done throughout these books that we have been through from 1 through 66. I personally like 64:8, but where you are the potter, where you put us together, you make us the way you want us to be. I thank you for that, Lord. But, Lord, I'm also asking that you continue working with us individually and collectively. Give us the things we need or the things that are necessary to be able to teach your word or speak your word to our brother or sister, as Pastor O said, to help them into the body of Christ, help them return back to the body of Christ, or just help them because they need your assistance, because that's what you have been taught to do. Lord, we thank you for all that you've given us, all that you do, all my brothers and sisters, individually and collectively. Lord, I ask that you bless them with the things that they need, and I guess some of the things that they desire. It's your will that is done, that be done. We ask these and all of the blessings in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well,
amen.
Amen. Good night. Good class. Good work. Okay.
Thank you.
Guess we're off. We're off till next week. God bless you. God keep you. See you when we see you.
Amen.
Been a real moment, I've seen sunshine through the darkest nights. Love the way you try. I sit back and enjoy the ride.
When I tried it my way, it was all wrong. All the friends that I had, they were long gone. Did the best that I could, try to be strong. Thought about letting go, but I held on. Now I need you to choose how I should move. By your side, that's the win, and we can't lose. Still I'ma need your strength when I get weak. So you can drive, I'ma ride in the backseat. Know where you take me,
yeah.
I know I won't always understand,
yeah.
Where we're going, but I'll take a chance,
yeah.
And even if it gets confused,
yeah,
I'll be doing whatever you choose. Take a chance,
yeah.
And even if it gets confusing,
yeah,
I'll be doing whatever you choose.
If it's all for you, we should know how to decide.
Can't decide,
cause I'm tired of fighting. I'm sitting back and enjoy the ride.
And it's been so long,
been a real long time
since I've seen sunshine
through
the darkest sky. Love it when you try. I'm sitting back and enjoy the ride.